Okay, thanks for having me. I'm going to try and show a little video at the end, so we'll see how that goes. I have nothing to disclose. Today I'm going to tell you about a model that we developed a few years ago, the Tailored Educational Approaches for Consumer Health Model. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about how we developed it and, more importantly, how we've collaborated with a federally qualified health center in Harrisonburg, Virginia, to choose a health condition that we are piloting our model to target, and then our process for doing the pilot test. So a little bit about the TEACH model. We, years ago, were struck by the growth of projects that were using tailoring for health information. So looking at a particular person's characteristic and designing materials to address that characteristic. So low literacy materials for people who have lower literacy, okay, as an example. So we were encouraged by the success of some of those, but we also felt like it wasn't sustainable, right? So there are many factors that we could all have our information tailored on. Everybody in this room, it's not just literacy, but that was not achievable going factor by factor by factor. So we used a new method, or new for us, which was market segmentation, to look to see how we could come up with more group tailoring, right? So using market segmentation is what, you know, Pampers uses to know to send people who've just had babies samples of diapers, right? So it's used all the time. We know that we can target people differently based on their characteristics. So could we do this for health information? So we developed this model, and we believe it's pretty applicable to a broad number of conditions, both on the prevention side and in the clinical setting, things like medication management. So we started by looking at all of the factors that we could find that had any evidence that they impact health information and health education, right? So I'm sure in this room you can think of a lot of them yourselves, all of the literacies, numeracy, certain demographic characteristics, personal and family health characteristics, things like health behavior, social support, other cognitive factors, and maybe some health coverage factors might impact how we receive health information. And then very importantly, our health information practices. So what are our past behaviors for health information? Where do we get it? Do we look for it? Do we use the web? Do we not use the web? Do we like a lot of information? Do we like a little bit of information? All of these things combined, we think would be, or we thought and still do, it would be important to distinguish so that we could group consumers in appropriate groups. So we used a data-driven process to determine our segments, our groups. We did a large random sample telephone survey in the state of Virginia, and we used cluster and discriminant analysis to come up with our groups, our clusters. And this is a typical method in market segmentation. So we know from our segmentation which factors distinguish people between and among the groups, and we also have an automated process to assess what group, what segment you might be a member of. And then for each segment, we developed a set of educational requirements or recommendations and a set of delivery recommendations. So for segment one, we might say, you know, low literacy, not a lot of information, deliver through the healthcare provider. Right, so we have a set of recommendations for each of our eight segments. This is just a very kind of a snapshot view of the eight segments. Our major drivers for classifying segments were whether or not people were information seekers, so that really split people up, and also whether or not they used the internet and computer for looking for information. That also really split people up. So you can look at this kind of like a 2x2 table. And each circle represents a segment. What's common in market segmentation and this kind of work is that you name your segments, which was very tricky, but I'll just give you a couple of examples. So if you look in the top right cell, you can see the circle that says number one, health-conscious browsers. Okay, so this group is characterized by being kind of trusting of health information sources. They're also higher literacy and numeracy. And there are a lot of other characteristics that describe that group, but those are the key ones. They're also in the bucket of information seekers. These are people who look for health information, and internet and computer users, right? So these people in segment one are probably a lot of us in this room, right? We're pretty easy to reach because we look for it, right? And if you combine contrast that with, if you look at the bottom left quadrant, thank you. Bottom left quadrant, like segment circle. If you look at number six, unhealthy isolated, these people are poorer health, generally a little bit older, less trusting, lower literacy. These people are not information seekers, and they do not use the internet or the computer, right? This is our really hard to reach group. I'm sure a lot of you in this room have people you work with in this group, and they're hard to reach. So we develop strategies to reach those people as well. So for this particular project, we wanted to pilot the model, and we wanted to do it in partnership with a federally qualified health center in Harrisonburg, where we have a really good working relationship. And we had some ideas about what the health topic would be, but we were pretty agnostic, so we worked with them to define the health topic. And one of the areas that they're trying to improve right now is their immunization rate, so the percentage of children who are fully immunized by age two. So we expanded that a little bit and include also well-child visits, the extent to which they participate in well-child visits, if they're immunized, and also if they are signed up for insurance, the children when they're eligible. So there are three main steps in implementing the model, piloting the model. The first one is to determine the prevalence of each of the segments in this population. So we did this segmentation survey in a general sample in Virginia, but now we're in a different, you know, population, and are all eight segments represented? So that was the first thing we needed to do. The second thing was to develop the materials that we were going to use and develop them according to our educational and delivery recommendations. And then finally, what we're working on right now is pilot test the materials. So to determine the segment prevalence, we took our segmentation survey and we used a convenience sample in the waiting room of the clinic. The survey was in English and in Spanish, and we were there actually for two separate three-week time frames. We collected 133 surveys total. About 80 of them were completed by parents who had children under age two, which is really our target population. Mostly women filled the survey out, 80% of them. 22% of the sample had a high school degree or less, or some high school or less. 35% were high school graduates, 31% had some college, 40% were of Hispanic origin, and 76% were white. So not all of our segments, as we, you know, predicted, were represented. We decided to focus the development of materials on four segments, which when we chose those four would represent about 80% of the population. It would have been impractical and unnecessary to develop for all eight. So we chose these four segments, and you can see how they're distributed below. We chose 1, 4, 6, and 8. And this is that same slide, but the stars represent the segments we chose. So we don't have one in the top left quadrant, but we do in each of the other three quadrants. So we try to get enough of a variety. And 6 and 8 there are very similar, and for these purposes, we didn't have to distinguish. We could develop materials that would meet the needs of both of those segments. So we used that kind of economy, so to speak. So the next step is developing the materials, and we were fortunate to work with an instructional designer and someone who had a really strong background in education. And we went through this process of instructional analysis, and then we developed our content, and then we finally, and in some ways most importantly, applied our segment-specific recommendations for all of the different factors. So this is just an example of the instructional analysis. This is for immunizations. So for each of our three areas, we identified our goals. So let's just take a look at goal two here. The learner will understand the importance of fully immunizing their child. And then underneath that goal, we came up with what are the skills that a person, a consumer, a learner will need to be able to achieve that goal. So skill one is to know what fully immunized means. And skill two is to know the risks of not being immunized and the benefits of being immunized, right? So we did this for every single goal for each of the three areas. And then we dove even a little bit deeper, okay? So again, this is that same goal two. And if you look under skill one, we have a number of other items that a learner needs to do to be able to do. Recall that fully immunized means a child has received all recommended vaccines. Etc. And so when we went to develop our materials, we used this as our guide. And then this is just our kind of summary sheet that shows the goals and the major skills. So this is like on the top of the file, and then all of the subsequent more detailed analyses come below that. So this is the overall map. So these are the educational recommendations for each segment. Again, we were focused on 1, 4, 6, and 8. You can just look at the top at the reading level. We're really kind of in 10th grade, 6th grade, 8th grade reading levels across the segments. We spent more time focusing on these delivery recommendations. Let's look at segment 1. They're the health-conscious web browsers. Their primary mode of delivery is the internet and the healthcare provider. The amount of information is as much as possible. How many people in here, when you're looking something up, you want to read everything you can find? Anyone? Really? Come on, you can admit it, right? And then how many people are like, I just want the bottom line. I just want the bottom line. Right. So I would say in this room maybe it's 2/3 a lot and 1/3 bottom line. And we're all different that way. So this segment is filled the majority with people who want as much as possible. Primary type of delivery is just make it available. These are people who are, if it's there, they're going to consume it, right? They want it. And then learning preferences. We measured learning preferences. We don't necessarily design for learning preferences. I'm not convinced there's enough evidence, but it's there, and we take it into account, I would say, especially the auditory one. So that's one, and you can compare that to, let's say, segment 8, the one all the way on the end. This is like provider only. This is where they want their information. They only want the summary information. We need to use a push strategy, so we have to get clever and creative about how to deliver the information, because you can't just put it out there. They're not going to necessarily look to consume it. So that was the second part of what we did, is once we got our content developed based on the instructional analysis, then we applied our recommendations to the content. And this is one way that we did that. I actually want to start on the bottom row here. So this is these are our 6-8 group, the health challenged, hard to reach. We developed a video for this group because they are harder to reach, and we felt like we could send them either a DVD or some other way for them to watch a video, and we could actually call them, and the video is about 2 minutes long, and we could have them watch it. I'm going to talk fast now. Got my 5-minute warning. We can have them watch it while we're on the phone if we need to, right? We can say, okay, now if you haven't watched the video, we want you to put the video in and watch it, 2 minutes long. So in the middle row, the unhealthy ask the doctor, that's 4. They're internet users, so we said let's put it on a website. And we also gave them access to the video. And then for the health-conscious web browsers, these are the ones who want everything. So we have 3 ways to give them information: website, video, and pamphlet. We were really careful. We did these crosswalks to make sure, did we have all of our goals and skills and sub-skills and prerequisite skills accounted for in all of our materials. This is an example of a crosswalk of our video script. So there's really nothing in here that doesn't have a match to one of those skills and sub-skills. Same with the pamphlet. This was the high-tech crosswalk pen and paper. But we really spent a lot of time doing this. This is the look and feel of the pamphlet and kind of the website as well. We call it Three for Kids. It's in English and in Spanish, and there are three main sections to it. I have one later if anyone wants to see it. The pilot test, we are in process of recruiting. It's been very slow, but we have about 45 people who have signed consent forms, which is exciting, and they're all at various points of getting materials back and forth. And maybe next year we'll let you know how it goes. This is just quickly the website. I just have a few screenshots. Each of the numbers you can click on and get some more information. That bottom row, those address a lot of the barriers that we had to address. And then, do I have 2 minutes? Okay. Control, Shift, Alt.
Thanks. I'm done.